Whatever the indigenous communities may want for their forests, we cannot survive without the world's trees. How to save and rebuild tropical forests prompted a lot of discussion here at COP21. The Amazon alone has enough forest carbon to equal more than a decade of present fossil fuel emissions, and Central Africa and Southeast Asia are nearly as carbon rich. New analysis shows that the tropics could theoretically save a whopping 4 to 6 gigatons of carbon a year if deforestation is halted and the trees are allowed to grow back, says Richard Houghton of the Woods Hole Research Center. That would be like cutting a third of the world's annual industrial CO2 emissions.
Which is enough to stabilize the concentration of carbon dioxide now and keep it stable as we come off of fossil fuels.
But to make such sharp carbon cuts, Houghton says, the world would need to stop cutting virgin forests, restore them, and at the same time drastically reduce the logging of plantation trees used for pulp and paper. He also says small farmers who repeatedly slash and burn small areas of forest to enhance crop production would have to rethink their methods. The idea of saving tropical forests, to buy time for humanity to convert from fossil fuels, led to the concept known as RED, reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. It's been around for a decade and got more encouragement at COP21. But making this forest protection concept a reality has been tough, to say the least, as Mariano Shinamo of the Institute for Conservation and Sustainable Development of the Amazon noted at a COP21 side event.
The first main challenge is to reduce deforestation at the same time they promote social and economic development. As we know, the main driver of deforestation in most of these regions come from the need for economic development, from agriculture, cattle ranching, and other mining and illegal logging. And therefore, to substitute these activities that generate revenues for another land use activity, we need investments, we need funds, we need financial support. And this is what we need now, that this is what is not in place on the needed scale so far.
At COP13 in 2007 in Bali, RED proponents won strong support for financing those needed investments out of the global carbon markets. Countries that reduced emissions by saving forests would have been paid for that performance with credits exchangeable for cash. Companies wanting to offset their carbon pollution could buy those RED credits. But 2 years later, when COP15 in Copenhagen failed to reach a broad mandatory international cap and trade agreement, RED's future became uncertain.
Coming out of that sort of disappointment in Copenhagen in 2009, that left space for sort of the voluntary markets to start to move forward. The whole generation of carbon cowboys came about, that is sort of speculators that someday carbon from forests and from reductions in deforestation would take on some value.
That's Dan Nepstad, a tropical biologist and RED expert who heads the Earth Innovation Institute in San Francisco. Without international standards and with no clear regulations, he says a good concept at times became a bad practice.
A lot of people went around signing off contracts with getting indigenous people to sign off contracts, sort of giving away their forests in a way. That was a phase of RED that continues at some level that got a lot of bad press and should have gotten a lot of bad press. I think that is unfortunate. I think that Chiapas, for example, it's been assumed that somehow California is putting money into a project that's taking land away from the Lacandon Maya indigenous group, and it's simply not true. So there's also a lot of misinformation out there.
But there have been some good news stories based on bilateral deals, even though a broad multinational system has yet to be implemented. For instance, Brazil has avoided some 4 billion tons of carbon emissions since RED came along. In recognition, Norway has given Brazil more than $130 million to cover some of the costs of implementing RED, though it's unclear how much of that has trickled down to small farming and tribal communities. Now, here in Paris, the notion of tradable carbon offsets for RED performance was mostly not on the table. Brazil, in particular, objects to the idea that RED credits could help dirty industries continue carbon pollution. Instead, COP21 promoted bilateral deals between nations and even provinces as new workable RED mechanisms that mesh with the diverse INDC system of carbon reduction pledges. About 20% of the world's tropical forests are in indigenous territories, and many of these lands have changed little in hundreds, if not thousands, of years, even though the communities there are now developing and farming. But indigenous people seldom hold title to those lands that mainstream courts recognize, and the red discussion has brought about some welcome clarity. Again, Dan Nepstad.
It was in the context of the development of the red program in Indonesia that the Constitutional Court decided that customary land rights, that is the rights of Dayak communities, other ethnic groups that have been there forever but have never been formally recognized because it's government land, need to be ceded back to those communities. That is a mind-boggling decision by the court. It has to be implemented, and that's a big step, but the context for that was the red debate. And how could we get benefits to people who don't have clear claims to their land?
Global indigenous leaders say there are other basic elements beyond land rights that their communities need to participate in RED, and those include free, prior, informed consent and financing for land protection. They also say they need an end to the criminalization of human rights activism and recognition of the contribution of indigenous peoples in the fight against climate change. I caught up with Abdan Nababan of Indonesia, Secretary General of Indigenous Peoples Alliance of the Archipelago, for his assessment.
I think nothing wrong with RED if the implementations put the indigenous people's right as preconditions. You know, we have the same goals with REDD+, to reduce deforestation and forest degradation. But if they put that in the market scenario, if they put RED in the hand of corporations, the RED+ will colonize our territory.
For a moment, let's pretend we're in the forest, looking around at the various trees and other plants. What would we see?
Now, there is mixed situations in our forest in my homeland. You can see the very good forest with the agroforest systems in our land. But at the same time, there is a new industrial forestry came to our land that converted these agroforestry systems for pulp and paper. So we see the two. We see how the indigenous keep the forest, but also we will see how the system become threatened by the industrial timber estate. I hope that the governments and also the academics work to produce the knowledge systems that these monoculture systems will destroy our systems, indigenous systems.
The fire is burning now in Indonesia. Why are they a sign that indigenous rights are not being respected?
Because now most of our forests already granted to the corporations, and they want to dry the rainforests and also the peatlands to become a plantations for oil palm. That's why there is an opposition for indigenous people's rights from the extractive industry.
What will it take to wake up the world to the solution to forest loss and degradation? In other words, recognition of indigenous rights.
I think the solutions for right now is to bring all kind of low carbon lifestyle to be in the front line of this fight. And indigenous peoples is one of that. Yeah, of course, not only indigenous peoples. Yeah, also local communities that's already developed their own systems to be more organic, for example. So organic farming and so on. I think that will be the solutions for what we are facing right now that we call climate change.
And by the way, if you're not familiar with Abdan Nababan's term of agroforestry, it mixes trees and shrubs with crops and pasture to make food production more diverse, more sustainable, and even more profitable, and can eliminate the need to cut down many trees. As the delegation's headed home from Paris, it's still uncertain whether this time the money will truly flow to keep and restore this resource that can help control global warming, tropical forests, the lungs of our planet.